Lenny, we are back, and I know we have a young guest on because I don't recognize this music. I hear it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Coach, you must really be getting old because that's classic rock now, man. You hear
that's classic?
That's right. They play it on Q104.3 to Red Hot Chili
Peppers. Led Zeppelin is classic rock, but I've got a classic coach. I have the men's and women's head golf coach, Mr. Rob Warren, as the guest on today's Greg Herenda Show. Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Is that considered classic rock already?
I think it's getting there, but it's definitely a song that you should have on your hype playlist during practices.
I'll rock it, but I think... Yeah, our players would know.
They might be too young for it.
They're probably too young, yeah. I'm just caught in the middle of, like, nowhere.
Everybody knows the Chili Peppers, though.
My wife still listens to the radio and sings songs that are, like, currently on the radio. I haven't done that since 1984 when I was 1 year out of Merrimack College. So, anyway, Rob... What year did you get out of Fairleigh Dickinson University?
I graduated here in 2003.
God, 2000. So you graduated in I'm getting old, Kenny. 1983, 2003. So I'm 20 years, basically 20 years older, a generation apart. But Rob, tell me about the Greg Herenda Show. Is about the genesis, the start. So I don't want to talk about the golf program now. I want to talk about Rob Warren. When you were a young boy, or maybe in high school, or maybe in college, did you ever have thoughts of you being a head golf NCAA coach, and how did it start? Give me the genesis of Rob Warren, the golf coach.
I never really thought that I would be the coach, or a coach for that matter.
Right.
Every athlete, I think, or imagines, especially going to college and then whatever happens in the next level, right, has aspirations of being a pro.
Play. Sure.
But, you know, for me, I guess it was like the end of high school. I mean, we had a pretty competitive high school team. We won 3 out of 4 state championships.
Wow.
I wasn't like the best player on my team, but I was like number 3 or 4 on the team.
Wow. Where did you go to high school, Rob?
I went to Egg Harbor Township High School down in South Jersey.
Gotcha.
And, you know, my coach in high school... he gave me a compliment, and it was actually a few years later that he actually followed up with me. But he considered me the unsung hero on the team. Like I said, I wasn't the best player on the team, but I was solid, and I practiced hard, and
exactly.
I was a good example for the other guys. And
right.
In a write-up, he told me, you know, he mentioned that, you know, I was the unsung hero, that eventually I would make a good coach. So that kind of planted the seed in my ear a little bit.
What year, like, so you, while you were in college, he told you that?
That
or?
Was like my senior year of high school, actually.
My bad, okay, in
yeah,
high school.
Yeah, that was 99.
So that put the thought in your mind?
That I could be, down the road, a good coach.
When did you realize, and this is like the elite of the elite, is the PGA Tour, and all the majors just ended last weekend, but when do you realize, like I did... You don't realize it until you have to, is that when you were not going to be able to be a professional golfer, like, when does that hit home? Like, I know when you're a kid, you're thinking, like, I can do it. But when does it hit where, okay, I don't think I can play for the Knicks. That's what I wanted to do. But eventually it hit home and the reality sets in that you have to branch off and do something else within that sport or that industry. When did you figure out that it was going to be hard? Was it after college, during college, or?
It had to be like before college, a little bit at the start of college, I would imagine. Like I said, I wasn't the best player on my team, but
right,
I gradually improved with practice. So you think,
sure,
going into college that like you're going to have the opportunities to practice and get better and improve.
Right.
And I had seen that improvement along the way.
Okay.
But, you know, after you play your first few events and you realize that you're playing against some of the best players in the country, at this level, you realize, okay, well, I'm either going to have to take a big step forward or
yes,
or I need to start thinking about something else.
Exactly. Tell me about your best round of golf, collegiate, high school, personal, or otherwise. Tell me about that Nirvana day where you made 5 birdies or you did something that you never thought you could do.
You know, I wasn't that great of a player in college, to be honest with you.
I don't believe you, but I'll let you be humble.
No, I actually
Kenny
wasn't.
Kenny's not a good golfer. He can say that.
Yes.
But you got to the place where you're at. You've had a – what was your best – what was your lowest score?
Yeah, it was actually a – I think it was like a late February, early March. I was just down south playing with a bunch of buddies.
Right.
It was a nice day, and we just went out there to try and start, like, rubbing it, like, just – getting the rust off and start playing for the season a little
right,
bit. And,
right.
You know, we were at a local course down in South Jersey, and we just went out there and started playing. And, you know, I go out there and I make a couple birdies early,
sure.
Make a couple good saves. And the next thing I know, I'm on the back nine coming into 18, which is a par five with a chance to either eagle or birdie it to shoot either 63 or 62.
Wow.
I ended up birdieing in the last hole to shoot 63, though.
You shot 63?
Yeah.
Wow. On a par, was it par 72?
Par 71.
Par 71. So you were 8 under par
yeah.
for one. Wow. Now, like that, to me, I shot, believe it or not, Kenny, lowest round, Greenville, North Carolina, par 70. I shot 69.
Solid.
And I had a par 5, 18 hole with white sticks all the way down the left side of the fairway. I was petrified. I'll admit I had to hit a 3-iron off the tee box. But to shoot, that's like getting yeah. lucky and everything. 63 means you made a lot. Did you make an eagle or all 8 birdies?
No, I made an eagle along the way. But, you know, awesome. You have to make an eagle to do that somewhere along
no,
the way.
No, true.
But that wasn't even – that was fun. I mean, you just get in the zone and you
right.
just kind of keep on going and you just realize, okay, wow, this is kind of special today.
Special.
But, like, one of the – like, I had a round of golf where I played with a buddy, too. It was summertime a couple years back, and, you know, we were really out there just – really enjoying ourselves, to say the least.
Yes,
and
yes, good.
Just, you know, out of our mind, having fun, and the next thing I know, like, I'm shooting 67. But, yeah. you know, those aren't, like, those are just fun rounds of golf. Like, I don't really play competitive golf that much anymore. And,
right.
But, you know, I enjoy doing that kind of stuff, and, you know, we have a lot of fun doing it.
The players that you've recruited are phenomenal people. Now, let the truth be known, Kenny, and to our audience, Rob's office is really in an old racquetball court, basically, correct?
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's where the kids – so that's across from my office. So during practice, the golfers will parade to and fro from Rob's office and the hitting area, and I engage with them all the time, and I grab a club out of their bag, like especially Flo. Flo is my guy, and we just talk about – their game, where they're going, my grip, their grip, my key to my swing. So I think not only are you bringing in really, really good players from all over the world, you're bringing in really good people. Is that your – what's your recruiting secret so it can rub off on me?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a pretty good job, I would say, too.
Oh, we're doing okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, Flo is one – is you know, a stand-up guy. I mean, there's not going to be many people that are better than him.
Right.
Just all-around good person. But a lot of guys on the team, like you mentioned, and the girls, too, are
yes.
all great people. And, you know, we're just trying to find people that, you know, enjoy and love playing the game of golf, that, you know, excel in the classroom and have, you know, have had experience either winning or,
mm-hmm.
or you know, experienced playing a lot of international golf where they can
right.
come over and they're ready to play right away.
Exactly.
Here.
How do you, just quite honestly, I haven't asked you the question even personally, but now on the radio, how do you find these men and women? Like, is it a website or just word of mouth, or do you go over and watch them play matches? How do you find these players?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. I try and, you know, I haven't really been over there, but we have, you know, different recruiting websites that are, that the kids use nowadays. I mean,
right.
every sport has that, I would imagine.
Sure.
But as you go along in your years, you kind of find out, like, who you can trust and who you kind of rely on for good advice for people that can
right.
watch them play a little bit more often than I can over there.
Sure.
And then certainly when, you know, a lot of internationals, there's a lot of international events in the United States as well. So once they come over here, that's when I can
True.
Go over there and go watch
exactly.
them play.
Exactly. Tell me about your staff. Gabriella Santini is a tremendous person. She was my partner when we had a team building day. And
yeah.
she's a quiet, very quiet person, but just very, again, just like your players, good person. Tell me about her ability. She was a great player,
yeah.
obviously, but tell her Tell me about what she does as an assistant coach. I'm going to assume, much like my assistant coaches, they do everything that you don't want to do, number one, and then they get players.
Yeah. Well, she's learning, you know, she's a young player. She just recently graduated. She was a great player growing up.
Yes.
She was a great player for me. She played well in college. You know, she won, you know, three championships, I think she won.
Yes.
And she was an individual champion her freshman year. Basically, you know, part of what I wanted to do is I wanted to – people that wanted to remain in the game, I wanted to give them an opportunity to kind of learn what this – aspect of the industry is kind of about.
Sure.
I don't think there's a better job in the industry if you're not going to be a pro or touring pro. I don't think there's a better job out there.
Right.
I mean, obviously there's better paying jobs, but like,
sure,
the satisfaction that you get from coaching and being able to stay in golf, like, this is not work.
No.
But yeah, Gabby's a great woman. I mean, she's going to be a great coach. She's just kind of learning her way, and that's what I want to be able to bring for her, is for her to be able to learn, you know, what goes on. And like she said, she's been a part of it for 4 years as a player, but she earned that respect from the players. But now they're starting to see her develop as a person and as a coach.
Kenny, we're speaking to Rob Warren. He's won 7 NEC championships. He's been the NEC Coach of the Year 3 times. Two-time, there's just too many accolades. A guy like you, I'm going to put you on the spot. I was on with Joe Beningo on The Fan last week, and he put me on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot. With that kind of a resume, do people call you, or do people say, okay, I got to talk to Rob Warren because I've got a golf job down here in North Carolina or in Texas or anywhere in the country? Do people call you? Give me your short-term, long-term personal goals as an NCAA golf coach.
Well, I mean, it's always great to be able to come back to the university that you coached at.
Yes.
and do that, and then to have success here. Like, I really want to win a championship on the men's side, a team championship. We won 3 individual championships. Most
right.
of those championships have been on the women's side. So that's my main goal here. And like I said, this is close to home. My friends and family are here. I mean, I wish it was a little bit closer to home, but
right.
I haven't really looked. To be honest with you, this is a good situation here.
Sure.
We have a lot of good things going on here. It's, you know, it's easy to recruit, and
yes.
you know, we've had success doing it. So I don't mind taking on challenges, but it has to be the right fit. So I've put my name out there a few times, and we've had different interviews and stuff like that. But,
sure.
I've turned down interviews. Just as, like I said, I mean, I want
to. This is home for you, really.
Yeah. This is as close as I could really get to home, I suppose.
Right.
You know,
because you're a South Jersey guy.
I'm a South Jersey guy.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid to go somewhere else. But like I said, I like what we have here.
Yes.
I know we're building some great things here, and those things. If I just take care of business here, like, things will happen down the road. I'm not even worried about that right now.
It's very similar to, like, Darnell Edge right now, played with the Utah Jazz this summer, and he's, like, right now trying to figure out the G League or play overseas. And, like, I said, Darnell, just do what you do,
yeah,
and then everything's going to take care of itself.
Right.
And the same thing with yourself. And you coach, you win, you enjoy, and then you evolve into what you're going to evolve into. The thing that really, as we sit down and it hits me and I look at your bio, is it's very unique in the country and in the world, is that you coach. Now, there might be more people that do this, but you coach men and you coach women, and their seasons are...
They're the same.
The same. Like, how... Like, number one, what's the difference between coaching a man? I'm going to really put you on the spot now. Coaching a male and a female, and how do you do both at the same time? I mean, it's really kind of, you have to be the jack of a lot of trades, and you're the master of them all, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons and one of the successful things that we've done here is that, like, you know, from the moment that we talk to them on the phone or
yep.
via email to when they come in here and then they end up start to play for me is, you know, and I always said this recruiting-wise, I think, like, you know, kids come because of the coach. And a little bit
right.
because of the school and
sure.
what they have the offer, but, like, you know, from day one,
yeah, you have a relationship with them.
Exactly right. And that's one of the hard things about leaving a situation like this too, is that, like, you know, you always get excited about, like, the next season.
Exactly.
And you want to see it through because you're bringing your guys in, your girls in. But, you know, from a, I mean, they get authenticity. So I treat my guys the same as I treat my girls.
You do.
It's just who, like, how you're talking to me right now is how I talk to my players. I mean, I don't change who I am and what I do.
Right.
And that's what I think they respect about me. And we have a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't put a lot of pressure on the kids to play well. I mean, I know that they want to play well. I mean, every kid wants to play well. So as long as I'm keeping them relaxed and loose and chill environment, that's what I think my secret is to having them succeed.
How did the men, it seems like they get along, you know, grandly. How do the men and women interact? Is there ever any competitive, is there, you know, like, and really, quite frankly, in men's and women's now, the equality factor, how much they get paid on the PGA Tour compared to the L? What's the relationship like with the males and the females, and not only at FDU, but in the NEC conference?
I mean, I think it's pretty good. It's a high level. I mean, on our team specifically, I mean, I can't really speak about the other teams, but for our team, you know, we practice together. And,
that's cool.
And the guys kind of see the success that the girls have had, and that drives them to want to play well and win and get to that next level where, like, they've seen that the girls have had played at that level and had success at that level. Like, so, you know, it drives them, and they enjoy playing together. The girls certainly like playing with the guys, but the guys, you know, they kind of watch the girls play, and they realize, you know what, like, these girls are pretty good. You know?
They're more than pretty good. They're dominant now in this conference. That would be an understatement, or?
You know, I'm pretty humble.
I understand.
No, I mean, we have.
The other schools might be listening. I don't know if they listen to the Greg Horrendous show. Let me ask you a really specific question.
Sure.
If the men and women are practicing, do they practice from the same tee boxes?
In some cases, like our home course is Edgewood Country Club. You know, we're happy to be there. We love it there.
Yeah.
It's a shorter course, so sometimes, you know, the back tees, the guys are always playing from the back tees.
Right.
So they're playing from the back tees. The girls on some of the holes might be a little bit more forward, but they also might be playing from the same tees. It's just we play from a certain yardage. So
Sure. The
girls will play anywhere from 6,000 to 6,400 yards. The guys are playing from, you know, 67 to 7,200 yards, probably.
Right.
Maybe even longer for national championships.
How often do you actually, like, are you working with the athlete's grip, their setup, or are you just kind of letting them play? And like, what's your philosophy? How hands on are you as a golf coach?
You know, it depends. It depends on the player. Depending on, because it's hard to, it's not like, I would say it's not like basketball. You can't just have like a group, you know, practice,
right,
and
you're, it's
not,
an individual
sharing,
sport.
You're not sharing the ball. It's an individual sport. So, you know, it's important for the success of one person is important to the success of the team. So as long as everybody takes care of their own business,
That's right. Our
team's going to have success.
Yes.
So, you know, I'll call players aside to work with them. They'll request to work with me. Otherwise, I'm trusting them to work on the things they need to be working on while I'm working with other people.
Yes.
You know, when you're working with two teams and only two coaches for, you know, 14, 15 people, it's not the easiest thing. But, you know, we make it work, and they understand how it all works. And, you know, at this level, though, like, I'm not in the business to overhaul golf swings at this point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, by now they have their, right.
They have their mechanics down, and, you know, it's just tweaking a few things here and there. And if a kid goes awry, trying to develop more consistency, or just to have them develop, you know, good habits as opposed to bad habits and things like that. So that's what we're looking for.
The true beauty of the game of golf is the integrity of the game. These young people, I'm sure they're officials when you play tournaments, but some tournaments there probably might be the coaches. How does that work in the NEC as far as rulings? Are there officials at every one of your matches? I know it's incumbent upon the athletes to call penalties on themselves, and there's a lot of officiating amongst the competitors, but explain to me how that happens.
Yeah, so each event will usually have you know, anywhere from one to probably four USGA officials at the event. So
we'll
either have one guy floating around, or usually have one on the front, one on the back, or
one
on the front, one on the back, one guy floating around, or two and two.
I wish we had officials like that. I mean, you know, one on the back court, then they float around. But we have three officials that are hawking that. Well, I can't say anything bad about that.
I watch basketball, obviously. I mean, I love all sports.
Yeah.
But, like, it would make sense for them to add a fourth official.
Right.
You know, that would make more sense for basketball to add a fourth official.
That's another person I have to holler at. You know,
that's fine. You do a good job of it.
I try.
Maybe you would actually.
Like volleyball.
Maybe you would actually have less hollering involved if there were actually guys
true.
Making the right calls.
I kind of like volleyball. I like tennis where there's just one guy up top and you can just Kenny right. Just like I can just focus in on that guy.
Yeah.
There's three of them running around, and
I think in college tennis they call it out on their own.
That's a great point. Yeah. Now I'll go over and watch our tennis team play, and that's got to get a little bit dicey when it comes to, you know, and it's hard. Like Wimbledon was awesome. The match, the finals was incredible. But like watching the instant replays, and it was just minuscule. Like
it's actually kind of crazy how like often they get it right.
They get it right. It's so true.
Yeah.
Because to get it right, you have, Mike.
I mean, it's like it's so quick.
Just an average ace, I'm like, how can you tell the ball's going 120, 30 miles an hour?
A lot of times they know when they hit it, too.
Tell me about the PGA, because we got to wrap it up, man. I could talk golf all day. Tell me about the PGA Tour, where it's at, where you're at with it, who are your guys, who do you like, what don't you like. Give me a, hey, you're the PGA commissioner. What do you do on day one?
Well, the new PGA commissioner is doing a great job, I think, changing it up the schedule a little bit. It's kind of fun. It's making the players, the top players, have to actually play more.
Right.
You have basically a major in every single month now.
I know, but I'm depressed. Like, the British Open just ended. I cannot get excited about the FedEx Cup, bro.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't really see it as a big thing. You know, everybody wants because your whole career is based on in golf. It's based on how many majors you win.
Right.
So, I mean, to win the FedEx Cup, I mean, it's a great. I mean, they're trying to make it a big deal by giving you a lot of money and stuff like that, and you have something to play for towards the end of the season. Which I get it, the whole playoff situation. That's great. But you're right. I mean, it stinks when you know
it's depressing.
This is it. This is it.
Because then it's like, okay, we're gonna go back.
Coming
like
up this
the U.S. Open in New York. For tennis, that's the Kenny. That's the official ending of my summer because then class, study hall, the season, and I love all that. But I'm a kid at heart. I want to have the summer last, you know, for the next 5 years.
I'm on board with you because I'm a tennis guy too, and I love the U.S. Open.
Oh,
that's like the official start to like my school year.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just sitting there, and the beginning of it, you're happy. Yeah. But as it gets closer to the championship, you realize that the fun is ending, and you got to go back, you know, basically back to work.
Yeah. But Rob, I like it, though, because that's the start of our season, too. So.
No. And, Rob, I'm gonna make this public right now. I have never, and I have a lot of interaction with you and your team, I have never been to a match this year. We have to sit down with the schedule, and I'll come on the van or I'll drive and I'll take my staff. I have to come and watch a men's and a women's golf match. I'm on the radio, and I'm going public. I'm going to come and follow your guys, and I'll bring Nitro out with me because I think the school really it's you're like under the radar champion, you know. And I think
it's golf, right?
It's golf, but golf is now it's big. It's cool, like Kenny. Kenny is rolled a 300 in bowling, but he would much rather break 80 in golf. True or false, Kenny?
Yeah, I have a 300 in bowling. I have a 300 in golf.
Oh, wow. Everybody, golf is cool now. When I was a kid, my dad was a golfer, and he played, and he made me watch on rainy days the PGA Tour with Don January and Lee Trevino, and I would cry that it was so boring. And now... Yeah. Guess what? My son is the same way. I'm watching it, and he wants to watch his deal, man.
It's a Tiger effect.
The Tiger is – you know, we'll bring you back, and we're going to have another show on the Tiger effect about your golf game, the team's golf game. You know what? We'll bring one of your student-athletes
Definitely.
In, put them on the show, and make sure you tell Gabby. She's my partner for life. Tell her I said what's up.
You think she could do this?
I don't know. You know what? You'd be surprised. Rob, thanks so much for being on the show, man. You're the best.
Thanks for having me, man. I really enjoyed it.
You're a champion. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after the doors.
This is Rob Warren, the head golf coach at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and you're listening to the Greg Herenda Show live on WFDU.